Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is the co-writer, co-director, and co-star of Watch the Sunset, an Australian action film shot entirely in one take. Mick Gosden is with us. Hi, Mick.
Hello, how you going?
Guys, Mick is calling us from the future.
Yeah.
It's 11:30 in the morning, the next day there. So this is going to be really exciting. Mick, have you lived in Australia your whole life?
I have. I grew up about an hour north of Sydney, and then I moved down to Melbourne about 8 years ago, and now I'm back in Sydney.
So okay, so this is the most important thing. Did you guys have Squeeze-Its in Australia?
I have absolutely no idea what that is.
The juice thing that you squeeze in, and it comes out the top.
Wait, let's ask. Box? You mean, let's ask him if he knows what Kool-Aid bursts are.
No.
It's like a soft plastic that has juice in it, and you squeeze it to get the juice out.
Yeah, we call them poppers.
Poppers.
Yeah.
I like that better.
That's better. That's better.
I'm sure you call them, like, I'm sure there's a universal thing, which is probably juice box. Is that what you'd call it?
I guess, yeah, that would be the technical.
Yeah, thing. That's probably our middle ground. But, yeah, we call them poppers. Can't ask me why, but we do.
I don't know. How do we get on Squeeze-Its in the first place, Travis?
We were talking about that guy who tweeted that the cover would actually close the juice.
Oh, yeah, you twist off the top and you can turn it around and jam it back in there to close it up, to reseal it.
Which is bullshit, and also there's not a kid alive who's going to not power that down in 2 seconds.
Mick, I watched Watch the Sunset last night. The whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm trying to figure out how you did it. I was so distracted with trying to figure out how you guys kept it going and what you were doing, and you were scooting from the back seat to the front seat and doing all kinds of how do I not hear the door slams when you're getting out of cars, and these are the questions that I'm asking through the whole movie. I feel like I got to watch the movie again and just try to like watch it as a movie instead of watching it for, you know, trying to figure out your secrets.
Yeah. We've had a lot of people that are, you know, obsessed with trying to figure that out. I think mainly because before we got into this, so Tristan Barr, the other director and writer, and Damien Lipp, who was a cinematographer, it actually all centers around his brain and his ability to never actually understand what no means. And so when it comes to stuff like, well, to talk about the door slamming, that's just sound design. You always fix that kind of stuff in post, but
tricking me isn't really that big of a deal. But
I think it's interesting because obviously you guys are, you know, you watch film and you're into film, and it's part of the dialogue that you have a lot. But for a lot of other people, it was actually the content of the film which they focused on and they couldn't get their head around. And I think that the whole purpose, one, to do it in the one shot was so their audience could not look away, so they could not, you know, disconnect from the experience that was happening in this single afternoon. And I think we found a pretty good choreography with the camera to the actors, to the movement of the entire set piece, which is 9 locations across the town. I think we found that because we knew we had to be able to do it, and so to kind of compromise was not an option. Like, we literally didn't have a plan B because we knew that we might fall on it. So
I mean, do you rehearse this like a play? Do you guys do some run-throughs? And
So we all actually graduated from theatre school in Victoria. That's why I moved down there into Melbourne. And where we all studied, we're all in the same year. And so Damien also studied acting as well. But all the actors are a part of this. We'd been rehearsing in theatre plays for a very long time in the lead up to this. And so we just treated it as such. And I think we did not as intensive rehearsals, but we're still rehearsing pretty regularly, about 6 weeks out. And then the last 2 weeks, we'd actually go to the location, which was 3.5 hours northwest drive of where we were living, and we'd go up there and we'd rehearse it until the sun went down, and that would probably be about 3 or 4 in a day, and then we'd come back, live our regular lives, and then we'd come back again. And so massive amount of rehearsal just to try to get down.
Do you feel like it's kind of like a catch-22 with the movie and how you decided to shoot it, like you said, to immerse the audience in the story, but also would you rather having people coming in blind that they didn't know it was taken in one shot so it's not distracting? Because I understand, like, from a marketing angle, it's probably, you know, a genius thing to say, hey, watch this feature that was, that, you know, that was taken in one shot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, you make a compromise any choice you make with, like, genre. As soon as you place it into some sort of genre, or you put it into, like, a title box, for instance, one shot, then people are going to go in there with that in the back of their mind. And that's kind of, I believe, in my naive state, how marketing works anyway, is that you want them to walk in there with an expectation of what it's going to be.
Well, I feel like, in a way, it's kind of like you guys flexing your muscle, too, like saying, look at what we can do.
Yeah,
so that's kind of, it's what it's marketed at. I mean, like, in the title on your Facebook page, it says, you know, it's a one-shot movie. And so, I mean, that's what you go into it knowing that that's what it's going to be, and you're excited about it. You're like, how are you going to do this shit?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, I guess the vast majority is it that we wanted, you know, for instance, yourself to be able to look at it and be like, you know, how the hell do they do it? But then we hope that the reason why people stay is because of the story that exists inside it. And so, you know, it's all about the bums on seats, because you can make the films, but if people don't see it, then it doesn't exist, really. So I think that, you know, we went into this knowing that it would not only be, we were hoping for the effect of it not only being a gimmick of one shot. We never intended it for that. We thought this is the best way to tell this story. And then after the fact, when we kind of pinched ourselves and realized that we had achieved it, not only had we achieved it, we actually captured two films, because we shot for 5 days. And the first 2 days were a bit of a write-off because of technical issues. And then on the last 3 days, we got better and better and captured two good films that we could easily have put out. But we had to make a choice between the acting or the technical side of it.
So you had two completed versions of the film, and you had to make compromises on which one was more important to you, the technical aspects or the acting?
Yeah, technically we've actually got three takes of the film, but the last 2 days were the ones that were like, they're films. They're ones that we really like. We kept on capturing it and thinking, great, we caught it. That's unbelievable. And then let's do it again the next day, and then we do even better. And so, yeah, I guess, like, the big focus, obviously, is the one shot and the way that we did achieve that. But we're hoping the reason why this film will have any kind of legs in the future and continue on is because of the story behind it.
You shot it in 9 locations in this town. Was the whole town in on it? Like, how do you...
yeah, I reckon, like, 30% of the town was, maybe. They... So Damien, the DOP, he grew up in that town. It's called Kerrang. And he managed to be able to get us into the doors that, you know, people from outside definitely wouldn't. And so this story is – the core of this story, what we hope to achieve, was a love story of this guy trying to redeem himself to his family before it's too late. But the undercurrent of the film is all about crystal meth and the way that that's really taking a huge hold of Australia regional areas at the moment. And we turn up talking about how we want to make this film, but a week before we got there, the town itself had actually had a huge town meeting about the effects of this drug and how to try to combat it. And so when we came in there, I think people understood that we wanted to make a film about to highlight that this was happening and to not ignore it. And so I think that helped us a lot.
Travis, was crystal meth the one in that Jennifer Lawrence movie in the Ozarks? Was that what she was on as crystal meth?
You might call it ice.
No, Travis? Crystal meth?
Ozarks is methamphetamine.
Oh, is crystal meth and meth different things? Crystal meth
not
better?
Really. It's just another word, you know, added on to it, really. That's, yeah. There's so many different
makes
ways
it to sound
say it,
better.
Like glass, ice. Yeah, and it's also you'll find that you sometimes talk to someone and be like, they don't know what crystal meth is, but they know what meth is. Or if you say ice, they know what ice is. But people that don't know what ice is, you go to meth. There's so many different ways of marketing it, which is the terrifying thing of it, because it kind of changes, you know, ideas so much.
I think the most fun one is horse.
Horse?
Horse.
Never heard horse.
It's heroin.
Yeah, neither. Oh, right. I think we're going down a rabbit hole if we try to find out the reason for that.
So you don't have you guys are doing the festival circuit on this right now. You don't have like a release date that people can just see it.
We are hoping for the start of 2018 to get it on video on demand. We are in talks at the moment because it's an extremely big and fickle business to try to get it shown to the masses.
How long ago did you actually make this?
2.5 years ago.
You made it 2.5 years ago?
Yeah. So we've gone on to a whole bunch of stuff since then, yeah.
So are you tired of talking about it, Mick?
No, it's kind of exciting to be back at it, you know, because the 2 years is post-production to get out those cheeky doors that making sound in the background, those kind of things. You got to take them out. And then the music, which was done by Richard LeBrew, they had a bit of time to be able to work on that. And obviously, you've seen the film. There's a bit of action that occurs within it that we couldn't achieve on the day because, you know, that could potentially kill someone. So we did it in visual effects at the end of it. And so we had the time to be able to make sure that looked good within the ultra realism of what we're trying to achieve. And so, yeah, we got it to a pretty great place for what we were capable of, because this is all self-funded as well. It's a completely, like, they talk of micro budget and then try to find like two tiers under that.
That's and if you look at the IMDb, it looks like everybody's wearing a lot of hats.
Like, yeah.
You're the co-writer, co-director, co-star.
Yeah, that was a big thing about it. And I remember when we were in it as well, I had a bit more of a kind of arm's length approach to the acting, because I'm only in it for two or three scenes, I think.
You have the job of looking scary, really.
Yeah, which is not hard. I can thank my parents for that. You know, they gave us the genes to be able to intimidate anyone. But for the other actor, Tristan is the lead actor in this. And so he relied heavily on the actors around him. So Chelsea Zeller, who's the lead actress in this, she was also a co-writer and helping with that. So we all knew where we were because we'd all help create it to that point. I think that definitely helped. It was a big, big, big collaboration.
So in the 2.5 years since you've made this, have you guys, what's the next thing? Do you already have another thing in the can?
Yeah, well, I actually just graduated from film school, funnily enough.
Oh, congratulations. So
thank you. Yeah, I did Australia's first one-shot feature film and then decided I needed to learn more.
it's an odd progression there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? You want to really dedicate yourself to the art of film, but while we're doing, you know, Watch the Sunset, for instance, I worked as a removalist, and I found that was pretty distracting and taking away from what I wanted to do. So luckily in Australia, we have the ability to be able to pay for our education after the fact, and so you pay for it later on. You get a little loan from the government and keep working that way. So I'm heavily in debt, but I have just finished two films for that. I'm currently working on a few other things. I've got a couple of treatments for a few more features. The boys, Tristan and Damien, they're part of a company called Bar Lip, and they're actually up in Queensland at the moment where they shot like Thor Ragnarok and all those big, big ones. They're shooting a feature film called One at the moment, so they're into that. Yeah, it never stops. I feel like you can't stop in this.
So check out, what is it, Watch the Sun Film on Twitter. You at mention them. You tell them you heard them here. When that movie comes out, we'll be sure to let people know. It's an impressive thing, but, you know, I said this, and it's probably too late now, but you remember when Penn and Teller did the thing where, like, they do the trick, but then, like, they make everything clear plastic so you could see how they did the trick?
Yeah,
That's the movie I want to watch. I want to watch how they did it after I watch the movie.
Yeah, you'd be pleased to know our assistant camera guy, because we knew that we'd have these questions pretty much as soon as we came up with the idea. So our assistant camera guy, Jesse Goerfleet, we strapped a GoPro to his chest and I think the last 3 days we captured the entire thing.
Oh,
for that.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, you can actually go to for a few small behind the scenes images and stuff like that. You can go to our website, which is watchthesunsetfilm.com, and see all the different photos that came through that. Or if you want to go to our Facebook page, which is Watch the Sunset One Shot Feature Film, you will see all the videos that we've put up in the past. There's even a video about how we achieved one of the car chase sequences where we follow the car outside of the car, if that makes sense. Right. If you see the film, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of information there if you're desperate to find out how the
hell
we did do it.
WatchTheSunsetFilm.com for all that.
Yeah. Yeah, all there.
Mick, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thank you so much for the check, guys. I appreciate it.
Take it easy.
You too. Bye.
Travis. You okay, man? You okay, buddy? You still sound like a robot, Travis. Having robot problems with Travis Napier. I don't know what to do. Because he sounds like a robot. He just sounds terrible. Mick
me
came
your leader.
Crystal clear across an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But Travis sounds like dog shit.
Maybe we should upgrade
from
we're
in the
netbook?
Same time zone. Mick's calling from the future.
Future's got better internet.